This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading, followed by a sermon, and then concluding with a prayer.
As we begin this new season, this new time of year, we have a new teaching series, and I'm going to be talking a little bit more about it later on, but it's called Broken Signposts. And we're going to be looking at what are the broken signposts in our world, and what does our Christian faith have to say to these broken signposts, in particular looking from the Gospel of John. So if there's a book that I would encourage you to read in the Bible over the next couple of months, that's the one. Pick up your Bible, open it at John, and start reading it and rereading it and getting into this book, because we're going to be diving into it to explore a bit more. So as I said earlier, we're looking at John's Gospel over the next couple of months. So let's go straight into John's Gospel, and I am going to read two passages from John's Gospel this morning. The first is from John 10, and then we are going to turn to John 21, okay? John 10, verse 7. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life. And have it to the full." And then in John 20, verse 30 to 31, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. There, John sums up exactly what his gospel is about in John 20. Holding those two passages in our mind, we're going to begin a series that is called Broken Signposts. And we're going to have a little bit of a think about what that means and why it is important to us over the next couple of moments. During the summer, among the many things that we did, one of the things that we managed to do was some painting. And whenever we were trying to choose paint, I'd forgotten how confusing and stressful it can be. Because you look at the tin and the colour that's on the tin, and it says, you know, it's sky blue or whatever. And then you put a little patch test on the wall, and there's nothing blue about it. It's got this purple look to it. Or later on that night, whenever the sun goes down, it's kind of gone like a grey colour. And you hold up the tin to what you've painted, and it doesn't seem to make sense. And it's so frustrating. You have to try all of these different tins, because what is on the tin, the colour, doesn't seem to add up. You know, it's telling you one thing, but whenever you go to paint it, you get something completely different. And nobody has been able to explain why. Life, like paint, often doesn't make sense. You know, it's meant to look like this, but it ends up looking like that. We want this, but we get that. Life is like those paint tins. If only life was like Lego. If life was like Lego, life would be easy. Easy to put together And if it goes wrong, easy to fix. If life was like Lego. If life was like Lego, we build our lives simply bit by bit. And it all works, and it all makes sense, and it all looks good. If only life was like Lego. But life doesn't make sense, and it isn't always right, and it's not always easy to fix. The world promises so much, appearing to be all that we need and seeming so good, but sooner or later it lets us down and fails to offer all that it promises us. We ask ourselves, what's going on? Why is the world like this? Why is my life like this? I have this deep desire in me for it to be different. Striving for this, but I never quite get there. Or the world never quite delivers. For example, take justice. One of our signposts that we're going to be looking at. We all want to see justice in the world. We all value justice, things being fair and equal. That's important to me. It's important to us. You don't have to teach people that justice matters. I could just take you to any P1 playground and you will hear one of those boys or girls at some point saying, "Oi, that's not fair." Because justice matters. We have a strong sense of justice built into our human instinct. Or take love and loving relationships. We all know that our relationships matter enormously. But we all mess them up. Friendships, business contracts, marriages. We hurt people we love, and they hurt us. And even the very best of relationships end in the graveyard. So if we don't break our relationships, death will break it for us. We ask ourselves, what's going on? Why is the world like this? Why is my life like this? The world promises so much, but it lets us down. And we desire so much from our lives, but then we mess up. We expect things to turn out a certain way, but things like justice, things like love, seem like broken signposts. You know, they're telling us this is a certain reality. This is how it's meant to be. But they don't help us get there. They're like broken signposts. There are other signs in the world around us that don't make sense, and we know they should make sense. I've mentioned justice and love, but there's also truth and power and spirituality and beauty and freedom. These things are important to us. No matter when you're born or where you're born, these things matter. They are etched deep in the hearts and the minds and the imaginations of every human being. They are great human needs that we all need met. Movies, novels, paintings, songs, buildings, statues are made with these things in mind. They're important to us. St. Paul's Cathedral, or the Palace of Versailles, was built with beauty in mind. Ed Sheeran writes his songs with love in mind. Putin, Macron, world leaders write speeches with power in mind. The Statue of Liberty was put together and constructed with freedom in mind. Teachers teach a lesson with truth in mind. Lawyers enter the courts with justice in mind. These things matter to us, but in the world they are like broken signposts. Now, what I mean by signposts, because I'm going to be talking a lot about signposts over the next couple of months. Well, what I mean by signposts, you know, they name something that is real. They point to something. And they're meant to help us get there. Well, whenever they're not broken. But if they're broken, they don't help us get there. And these seven signposts we see in the world are real. And they point us in a certain direction. And the direction they point us to is life. These seven things are meant to make up life and help us live the best life. If any of them aren't right in our lives, then we know that our lives aren't right. We're not living our best life. We're not living life to the full. Justice, truth, love, power, freedom, spirituality, beauty are meant to be life-giving. Enriching our lives, helping each of us to live in this world. The problem is, these signposts are broken, and we don't get the life that we long for. Let's think back to justice. In our personal lives, we all want justice. If there's somebody who burgles your home, you want justice. You want the courts to act justly. You want the police to come and do what they need to do to ensure that justice comes about. But hold on. When we ourselves find ourselves on the wrong side of the law, well, you know, we somehow hope we can get out of it, find a way out, avoid punishment, or get a lesser punishment. Isn't it interesting whenever it comes to us? And it's the same in international relations. Every country wants justice until its own interests are at stake. We try to achieve justice in our world, but we get lost and we end up time and time again with injustice, corruption, persecution, discrimination, exploitation. Or take, for example, truth. We all try to live truthfully. And there was me saying to the boys and girls, whenever they're in P1 or whatever class, make sure you value the truth. It's important that you're honest. We try to live truthfully, but we don't always. We can get things wrong. We live out half-truths. Saying one thing, but doing the opposite. Dare I say it? Being hypocrites. Our world is full of fake news and photoshopping. Sometimes hard to know what's true, what's false, and we just get lost. We struggle to make sense of the world. Whether we want justice or love or truth or freedom or power or spirituality or beauty, any of these things, sooner or later, we realize that we need to find the right way to enjoy these things in our lives. There's an old legend that is told about two men in ancient Greece. And they get up each morning, but every morning they would have totally opposite reactions to the world. One man would get up out of bed, open his door, and burst out with laughter at a world that delights him and excites him and is all that he'd hoped it would be. Another man gets up out of bed and opens his front door and looks at exactly the same world and bursts into tears. Looking at the world full of tragedy and sorrow, and he's deeply troubled and full of sadness. These two men are both right about the world. We all know the world can bring great joy, but it can also bring great sadness. And their laughter and their tears that this old legend talks about is not the end of the story. And the Bible tells us it's not the end of the story. Because here in the Bible, we find the end of the story. Jesus is the end of the story. He is the one who helps us make this world make sense. He makes sense of the world. He came to put it right. One of the most famous verses in John's Gospel is found in chapter 3, in verse 16. And it says, "For God so loved the world, he sent his Son." Why? To put it right. To make sense of it. God knew we need a Savior, a Messiah to come and save us and help lead us and guide us in this world. We all live in a world that will bring us laughter and tears, but only Jesus helps us make sense of that confusion. Jesus said of himself, he says, "I've come so that you can have life, and life to the full." But how many people are living with just a bit of life, or something of life, or a quality of life that never really satisfies? And here's Jesus saying, this is his promise to us. "I've come that you may have life, life to the full." Some people say the reason we instinctively, for example, love justice or long for freedom or value beauty is because these things are implanted in us by God who has made us. And that is true. Perhaps that is the reason why these things really matter to us, because we are made by a God for whom these things matter to him. But it doesn't take away from the fact we all mess up. We mess things up spectacularly at times. We don't find justice. We aren't free. We're told beauty, for example, is only skin deep. Or the power over us is just not right. Indeed, it can at times be corrupt. Within each of us is a God-given longing and desire for these things. But they are only truly and fully experienced and enjoyed through Jesus. And that's what we're going to hear from John's Gospel. Woven deep into the story of Jesus are these things that really matter. Love and justice and power, etc., etc. These things that matter in our lives. Take just a quick glance at the final moments of Jesus' life, and we see him dealing with these broken signposts. For example, justice. The Roman Empire prided itself on justice. So much of our legal system today was established there in the Roman Empire. But Pilate's judgment of Jesus is pulled and pushed depending on political interest or personal desires. At one point in John's Gospel, someone says, "If you let this man go, then you're not Caesar's friend." Pilate's threatened. His life is under threat. And as a result, Jesus wasn't treated fairly. He didn't get a fair trial. He didn't receive justice. Or take love. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. He calls them his friends. And then Judas betrays him. Peter denies him. And the rest run away. Love, like justice, feels just when we need it to win. Or take freedom. The Passover that everyone was celebrating in Jerusalem at that time was the Freedom Festival. It was about celebrating how God had brought freedom to the people of Israel by releasing them from slavery in Egypt and under the rule of Pharaoh. It was a freedom festival. And yet, here we have Jesus arrested, held by Roman guards, and nailed to a cross. Freedom failed. Or truth. Pilate sneers. What is truth? What is truth? We're the empire. We decide what truth is. You will not tell us what truth is. And Jesus' truth was thrown out, and he was crucified because of lies. Story of Jesus as he goes to the cross is a story we all know and we're all familiar with. It's the story of what happens when our vision of the world and of ourselves comes crashing down. And life isn't lived to the full. The place of the cross is a broken, broken place. In a broken, broken world. You look to the cross and you don't just see broken bones. You see a broken spirit, broken hopes, broken dreams. And yet it's precisely there that God meets you. In that place of brokenness. There in real human history. In a point in time. We find a God doing what no other God has done or would ever desire to do. He came to the place and met us in human failure and brokenness. He meets us right there. Now, why would God do that? Why would he do that? Two reasons. One, because he loves you. For God so loved the world, he sent Jesus. He so loves you. And secondly, because only Jesus, the Son of God, could fix this world, could put everything right, defeat the power of death, forgive your failures and mistakes, remove your sin, and save you from getting lost in this world that doesn't seem to make sense, doesn't seem to add up. Only Jesus has done this for you and me, fixing, mending what's broken, what's damaged. There was an Archbishop of Paris called Jean-Marie Lustiger. He died around 2007. But there was a story that he frequently told. And it was the story of three boys who used to play a trick on their local priest. And the three boys would go into the chapel and they'd tell the priest these wild, made-up stories and confess them to the priest. And one by one, the wee boys would go in and they'd say, "Father, Father," and they'd tell the priest some wild story. And then they'd run away. And then the next boy would come in, "Father, Father," and they'd tell the priest. And then they'd run away. And the third boy would go in and he told the priest his wild, made-up story. But the old priest wasn't fooled. He says, "Here, don't you run away like your two friends. You wait a moment. I hear what you say. Instead of running away like your friends, I want you to go to the far end of the church. And I want you to go there, and I want you to stand at that cross. And I want you to look up at the figure on the cross. And I want you to say to that figure, 'You did all that for me, and I don't care.' And I want you to say it three times, and then you can leave." Well, the wee boy thought, "Right, fair enough, I can do that." And he swaggered down the church as if he didn't care. And he stood at the cross, and he said, "You did all that for me, and I don't care. You did all that for me, and I don't care. You did all that for me." And he ran out of the church in tears and was never the same again because he did care. But he met the one who cared even more about his life and about the world. Jean-Marie often told that story because at the end of the day he says, "I can tell that story because that little boy was me." And as a result of that, he spent the rest of his life following this Jesus through the world, trying to make sense of it, serving him, this Jesus who had come to a place of brokenness and was broken for us because Jesus cares. He cares for you and me. And Jean-Marie says, "I never, ever forgot what that little boy learned because it got me through life. When the world looked ugly, as well as the days when the world looked beautiful, I knew that God cared Do you know, as we read John's gospel together over the next couple of months, we're going to find each of these broken signposts and how Jesus fixes and corrects each of these through entering into our brokenness with his death on the cross. But that is not the end of the story. Because Jesus rose again. We have the resurrection. Jesus put it all right. He fixed it for us. So we find in Jesus real freedom and truth and power and beauty and all those things that don't seem right. We find it there in Jesus. He makes sense of the world. So as you go out into the world, whether it's to school or your workplace or coffee shops or clubs or your families, you have confidence that you have someone, a Savior, who can help guide you and lead you in this world, whatever you face. And you can be used by God to reveal the very things that are important to everybody you meet. And show how Jesus put them right, but also be used by Jesus for you to help put these things right. Over the next couple of months, we're going to look at each of these broken signposts. Next week, we're starting with justice. And we're reading through John's gospel. We'll explore each of these broken signposts. So I really encourage you, take some time to pick up your Bible. Take you no more than 2 hours to read John's gospel. You could do it in one sitting, or just give yourself 10 minutes each day, or half an hour, or just read it through as we are reading it through together over the next couple of months. Really encourage you to bring your Bible with you and have it open on a Sunday morning and John's gospel. Because God has given us this amazing book. And we are people of the book. And he wants us to know this because there's so many answers for our lives that are here. So bring your Bible with you as we read through this together. And maybe one of these broken signposts is important to you right now. Or maybe you've been wondering how Christianity makes sense of the world. Or maybe you'll come to understand more of how God wants you to live in the world, correcting these broken signposts in your vocation, your calling, your context, your situation. You know, my prayer is simply that Jesus would help each one of us make sense of this world and know how we are to live in it. Living a life not broken or incomplete, that disappoints and feels dissatisfied, but a life to the full. That's God's promise. That's Jesus' promise to us. Let's hold on to that today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this promise of your Son Jesus. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, to the max, 100%. And when, God, we put our lives into your hands, fully trusting in you, you never disappoint. You do not let us down. You always deliver, always satisfy. Forgive us, God, that we don't always look to you. Like the athlete looking to the coach in the crowd. Forgive us, God, that we let you get crowded out. This morning, we recommit our lives to you. Each one of us as individuals. But together as a church, we look to you, God, as a church family. God, as we look through these broken signposts, bring your answers to us. Bring your understanding. Bring Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. In a moment, Judith's going to come and lead us in prayer. But I wanted just to give you some context for our prayers over the next couple of months, because our prayers for others are going to be particularly focused on one thing. And that one thing is our city. We are a city church, and many of you, if not all, live your lives orientated around this city. your kids or your grandkids go to school here, you work here or you've worked here, you socialize in this city. And so our prayers are going to be for our city over the next couple of months. And each week we are going to pray five things for our city. And Judith's going to lead us this morning as we begin praying for five things for our city. And we want to hold just before us the words of Jeremiah, who said that we need to pray for our city, that our cities thrive, that they are prosperous in all the different ways that the city operates. And that is our prayer over all these prayers that we're going to be praying over the next couple of months. So Jude's going to come and she's going to lead us in our prayers now.
Let us pray. Dear God, as we take the time to come together this morning, we thank you for the opportunity to meet after the summer holidays and the break from our routines. For many of us, it has been a busy week, and we are glad to have this time where we can reflect, pray, and take a moment out from daily life to just be in your presence, in the hope that we will leave feeling refreshed for the coming week. We are thankful to live in a bustling, busy city that is also filled with beauty. Help us to see our city with new eyes, especially as the season changes from summer to autumn. Help us not to take these scenes for granted, but to see your hand in all our surroundings. We are grateful to belong to a church on the Lisburn Road where all aspects of life can be seen, from the smallest apartments to large historical houses, hospitals, cafes, shops, restaurants, and many other businesses in between. We thank you for the people working and living close to our church. We pray that they may see our church anew and want to know more about God through our presence here. We pray for our church and for all churches who are spreading gospel and good news throughout Belfast. We pray that through practical initiatives and by showing compassion, kindness and patience to others, that many more people would call on the name of the Lord through our own example of your love and compassion for us. For those who have turned away from you, God, we pray that you may open their hearts to see you and your love. For those who are in despair, suicidal, lonely, or suffering with anxiety or depression, we ask not only that you will be with them, but that you will give us the opportunity to help these people when we can, and not turn a blind eye to those who so desperately need help. We pray for the many people in our city who are struggling with addiction and homelessness. We could never fathom how it would be to live in the streets of this city for days, weeks, months, to live in fear, to never know when you would eat, to have to beg or steal, and to want so desperately for your life to change. I saw this firsthand over the summer on a night out in the city centre with friends. How smug we must have seemed. How ungrateful for every opportunity we had been given. And how insignificant our worries were as we walked past groups of homeless men and women. We showed no compassion for these people or any empathy as to what they must be going through on a daily basis. We pray for outreach teams who are trying to offer support, warm food and drinks, that they will be able to help even one person this week to turn their life around. Finally, Lord, we thank you that we live in a city of great opportunity, where we have access to everything we could ever want or need.
We hope that we can give back to our city and those in need in any way that we can. We hope that your message of hope can ring out throughout Belfast, helping to transform our city into one where your presence is felt in every home. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website. But in the meantime, stay faithful.